Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You know, I was just reminded myself, maybe that came down upon me, of my time in Baudette. That was Lutheran land. You know, northern Minnesota, probably all of Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. And then, I got to know the Lutheran pastor very well. We were just good, solid friends. And then, years later, when the denomination asked me to start a church in the Murrieta, Temecula area of Southern California, I stopped in at the Lutheran church just to introduce myself, and by golly, there he was again. Isn't that amazing? The passage from the Gospel of John deserves our attention this morning. To help us understand, we need to know that Jesus had just fed the multitudes who had come to see and listen to him. But there's more. Jesus had also escaped a plot to crown him, and he had walked on water. The gathered multitudes of John's story had misunderstood the great significance of the signs and events that surrounded Jesus. As a result, Jesus now finds himself in a preaching moment as he uses the bread of life as a metaphor to illuminate his presence among them. Jesus, the bread of life. What was John, the gospel writer, trying to tell us? He had his writing style where he wrote about one thing, hoping that his readers would see through it to another level. Or to say that differently, John's words in writing point to something beyond themselves, beyond those words. I know, don't you wish people could just tell it to us straight? But not John. He wanted us to live with the mystery for a while before we saw the light of what was happening. I'll bet that's happened to you. You can't quite understand what someone is talking about, and you walk away, and then maybe a week or perhaps a month later, you finally get what they were trying to tell you, and your perspective changes. And you see the light. So we have this jabber, the eating of flesh and drinking of blood, that might put terror in the minds of our non-Christian friends if they knew that we did that here in this building. But Jesus turned this potentially horrible image into a sacrament that meant Jesus would always be with us. He would always be the bread of life. Jesus is implanted within us. We also have the gospel, the good news, to remind us of Jesus and his teachings, of how we should live in this world through good times and the bad times. The feeding of the multitudes is a good image for us. Yes, we should look after one another as Jesus did in his short stint in this world. We should also be the bread of life to one another. And with the various ways that we have been gifted, it means that showing our love for our neighbors and for this world will be a rainbow of sharing our gifts to make this life as pleasant as it can be for our friends and even for our enemies. Yes, if we don't care for our enemies, who is going to care for them? If you've been watching the Olympics, you had a good example of someone taking care of herself. I'm referencing Simone Biles, a young American who came to the Olympics with high hopes of continuing and enriching her already pretty large athletic medal collections. Despite Simone's whole life being devoted to her athletic gifts, she got what is called the twisties in Japan. And she realized that it wasn't safe for her to compete. She needed to take care of herself, and so she did. She stepped aside until she felt better. I'm glad that she modeled self-care for all of us who think we're going to be forever young. We still have other talents and self-worth that we can share with the world when our vision of the twisties slows us down. So yes, sometimes we even have to ask ourselves, not only do we care for one another, even our enemies, but we also have to make sure we're wise enough to care for ourselves. Self-care is not a luxury. It's a way of life. Our culture tends to teach us that winning is everything. We all brag about our wins, don't we? But that's not a theological truth. Loving one another and loving God and cherishing the gift of life itself is the higher bar in our religious strivings. I want to emphasize the other gems that were in the gospel reading. The one who listened to his speech, the ones who listened to the speech of Jesus are now complaining and questioning what he said. How can he say, "I have come down from heaven"? I don't know if you've ever had to do public speaking when people openly question what you've said, and you weren't really ready for such a reaction from the audience. But Jesus didn't seem to be the least bit riled by their challenges. He said, "Hey, listen, don't complain among yourselves. You may not be understanding what I've said. You see, the fact of the matter is that I have seen God and have been with God, and God has bestowed his love upon me to bring you and also to let you know, to bring to you and also to let you know that all you have to do is eat of the bread of life, and you will never die. I am the bread of life, and the bread that I will give for you for the life of the world is my flesh." You can see why some people may have a hard time absorbing this message. To some it would seem crazy, bonkers, goofy. The man sure has a lot of delusional ideas about himself. "I am the bread of life." Sounds good, but take a step back, and it also seems like sheer craziness. No, seriously. You go to the county fair this year, and someone is on a soapbox saying that he or she is the bread of life, and you'd probably keep walking. Another nut. Another mentally deranged character in our midst. But this was the Son of God making this claim. And we know that story pretty well. Some of us have been coming to this church or even other churches where we grew up and lived and had our being, and we remember the story. We get especially reminded of this narrative around Easter, when the sanctuary is filled with more than it is today. And people come to hear this story because we want to believe that at the end of our lives, we get elevated. We get flown away to a new reality, to one we've heard about, but we were never 100% sure about the truth of the claims that tell the story of life everlasting, a life of love and security, a life of beauty and friends, and even enemies who are now friends, and a sense of love and caring abide everywhere. No more crying there, no more dying there. The future is totally secure for everyone in this setting. I am the living bread who came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What a sacrifice. Today's gospel reading allows us to revisit the celebration we had on Easter Day. To think that all is forgiven. To hope once again, months later, that we will see our beloved family members and friends who have gone on before. That's a very comforting and thrilling thought. To think that we are so loved by the Holy One, even though our path hasn't been perfect in this world, and we have done and thought some things we wish we had never done, and still we are loved. And we're cherished. And we are forgiven. That's a miracle that brings smile and hope to our being. In fact, it's more than we could ever hope or dream for. To see relatives from before our years and relatives we well remember. To leave this world where it was easy to doubt this could ever happen. And yet it has happened for so many who have gone before us. The celebration is going to be huge. The gathering will be more joyous than the best music we've ever heard, and better than all the Christmases and Easters we have celebrated, all tied together. It's a rejuvenating message. We need rejuvenating messages every once in a while. We need to remember that our words and our behaviors here are not the final reality of our existence. Stay happy, my friends. Try to keep a smile and a loving heart, even in those doggy downer days that we all have. And go forth into your community, your world, with purpose and with love. And with concern for everyone, displaying a positive and loving attitude that Jesus wants us to have and to display to all with whom we live and encounter on our daily opportunities to love one another constantly as God loves us. Amen. Let us sing a hymn of the day. Together, let us say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the Church, the world, and all creation. For the Church of Christ in all its diverse forms, for missions, mission developers, new mission starts, and all communities of faith exploring new models of ministry for the sake of the gospel, for congregations facing difficult decisions about their future. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the health and well-being of creation, for shade trees that provide refuge from the hot summer sun, for lakes, rivers, and oceans contaminated by pollution and all who lack clean water, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those called to positions of authority in our legal system, we pray. For judges, lawyers, law clerks, and court employees who ensure the fair administration of justice, for corrections officers and prison chaplains, that they would deal mercifully with those who are incarcerated. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who cry out to you in their affliction, for exiles, refugees, and others who face long and difficult journeys, uncertain about the future, for all who mourn the death of a loved one, for all who are sick, especially, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For this assembly gathered around your table, we pray. For those among us who bake bread and prepare the vessels for our communion celebration, for those who bring the food from this table to those who are homebound or hospitalized, God, in your mercy, we give thanks that the Holy Spirit has been working through our call committee and all who have been working to bring a new pastor to Buffalo. We pray for the councils, congregations, and candidate that you would grant to all a spirit of wisdom and discernment as we prepare to meet and shape a common vision for this ministry in Buffalo, and that you would guide us through each step in the days ahead. Hear us, God.
Your mercy is great.
For those who have been raised to eternal life, we give thanks. With all the saints, we praise you for the bread of life that keeps us in your love forever. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift all these and our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May the Christ of peace, may the Christ be with you. Let me start that over. May the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Thank you. Thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us sing together the offertory.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks to Jesus Christ.
Together let us pray the offering prayer. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Together let us sing. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.